plans for my crazy day. My packed commute. All those unread emails in my inbox. But I'm getting stronger, faster, and pushing myself further every day. I don't care if I'm not like everyone else. This punching bag is the best way to end my day.
Fearless is knowing yoga isn't your style. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits at fepblue.org/getmore.
You are Locked On Panthers, your daily podcast on the Carolina Panthers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Panthers, your daily Carolina Panthers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Bill Rossetti hitting you guys back up here on the Locked On Panthers podcast. Hope you guys had a good weekend. We're back. It's Monday, October 16th. Week 6 is in the books, but unfortunately, it was not a good week for the Carolina Panthers as they lost at home on Thursday night to the Philadelphia Eagles 28-23 to drop to 4-2 now on the season. The Eagles moved to 5-1, and they are now sitting alone atop the NFC. But it's not all bad for the Panthers, as due to the Falcons' loss to the Dolphins on Sunday, the Panthers do still hold first place in the NFC South at 4-2, but now they're just half a game up on the 3-2 Falcons and the 3-2 Saints. And then you have the Buccaneers now sitting at 2-3. So let's get into what happened on Thursday, and it was just pretty ugly, really, if you're a Panthers fan. I'm sure you guys have seen the stats by now in regards to the Panthers running backs. They carried the ball 13 times for a mere 1 yard. That's it. Christian McCaffrey carried 4 times for 7 yards, but then it was Jonathan Stewart, 8 carries, -4 yards, and then Fozzie Whitaker had a carry that lost 3 yards. If it wasn't for Cam Newton, these stats would have looked a lot uglier, but Cam was able to get it to the total yardage to about 80 yards, total rushing yardage to about 80 yards, as he carried 11 times for 71 yards. But overall, the Panthers just, you know, you look at it, it's almost amazing they were able to put up 23 points, just in general, how rough the offense looked throughout the game. Really, not many on offense were really stepping up. It took a little into the game before Kelvin Benjamin started to wake up, and then he had a good game. But overall, it was just a total dominant defensive effort from the Philadelphia Eagles. We knew going in it was going to be tough. The Eagles had a very good rush defense coming in. And I believe now, I haven't got a chance to look at the numbers yet, but I think the Eagles now might be the number one rush defense after what the Giants did on Sunday night to the Broncos, who were previously the number one rush defense. So by no stretch of the imagination, can we say the Panthers are going in against an inferior opponent or a easy defense? Certainly, you know, the Eagles have played very well. You look back, and I even looked a bit into this for the film room article I just did for the Panthers Wire, just how tough it was for Jonathan Stewart to get anything going. You know, he carried 8 times, but 5 of those carries went for either 0 yards or negative yards, including one play where he lost 6 yards. And that's really because the Eagles defense just swarmed around him. You know, guys like Vinnie Curry and Timmy Jernigan were just flying off the ball. Just the front 7 in general just did an excellent job just reading the run, filling holes, getting to where they needed to be, and the Panthers really just had no answer. You know, the line really couldn't get much moving. Matt Khalil struggled again. He even had a penalty on a 3rd-and-2 late in the first quarter, which was actually one of the plays that netted nothing for Jonathan Stewart. I believe it was because he did not report as eligible, and that's why they threw the flag. But because the Eagles stopped him to bring up 4th down, the Eagles just declined the penalty anyway, so it was kind of a moot point. But still, You know, it's little things like that that can hurt a football team, like a lineman not going in and reporting as eligible. So once again, the offensive line just couldn't get anything going. And I know Panthers fans, I've seen some of the comments, they're not happy with the play calling of Mike Shula and, you know, just the whole collection of things that they're just not happy with. But the fact of the matter is, this is still a 4-2 football team. And remember, this is a team that was just 6-10 last season. So if you were to tell me that the Panthers would come into this season starting 4-2, I'd tell you that's still a good start, and it still is. And again, the fact that they're still number one in the division right now, you know, they're still in pretty good shape. And let's keep in mind now, too, that the NFC is wide open. I mean, can Philadelphia, how much can they sustain the success? You know, are they going to be able to keep cruising the way they have, or are they going to fall back to earth a little bit? And you look at Green Bay, they're now likely without Aaron Rodgers for the rest of the season. So it's, spots are still there for the taking for the Carolina Panthers. They're certainly not out of, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could still be a high seed in the playoffs, maybe even get a first round bye. You know, right now, again, Philadelphia is at 5-1, but you've only got, I believe, three other teams besides Carolina that are sitting at 4-2. You've got Minnesota, you've got Green Bay, and you've got one of the surprises in this season so far, and that's the Los Angeles Rams, who so far have looked like they've got a very good offense, and it showed. They just beat a very good Jacksonville defense. So, you know, things can happen. And again, and the Rams are another team that, are they going to fall back to earth at some point, or is this a legitimate team? We'll see. You know, they go to London next week, so that'll be a bit of jet lag. We'll see if the jet lag can catch up to them after the game. They go there to play the Cardinals. So we'll see. They're not out of it yet by any stretch, and they've got Chicago next week, who, you know, they did just beat Baltimore, but Mitchell Trubisky has been pretty up and down in his first two games. The key, of course, is going to be stopping Jordan Howard, and we'll certainly get into that as the week goes on.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
One of the other stories, of course, from this game is the concussion, or at least the concussion scare, of Luke Kuechly. And we know the concussion history that Kuechly has. This certainly is far from his first one so far in his career. But it's nice to see that the Panthers have come out and said that they don't believe Kuechly has a concussion, which is a huge sigh of relief for Panthers fans. I know fans were worried, other players were worried. You know, I could think off the top of my head, Ed Dixon came out. He had the quote saying, you know, it's cliche to say next man up, but there is no next man up. You know, with all due respect to guys like David Mayo and Jeremy Cash, they're not Luke Kuechly by any stretch. So if Kuechly were to go down again, that would certainly be a huge loss in the middle of the defense, because he was certainly one of the guys that played well on defense. Really, that whole linebacker core, as always, continued to play well. I thought Shaq Thompson played very well as well. He was flying around making plays. But if they were to lose Kuechly, that would just been a huge blow, and especially seeing in the last couple of weeks all these injuries throughout the NFL, just has been crazy. So I think the Panthers kind of avoiding that injury scare, is a huge weight off their shoulders, so he should be good to go for Sunday against the Bears, which, again, you know, the Bears, they just beat Baltimore, and then they have that upset win over Pittsburgh, but they're certainly up and down. I thought it was really interesting, though, the way they really worked Jordan Howard on Sunday. Rushed 36 times for almost 170 yards. So obviously he's the guy you got to stop. Tariq Cohen is a very nice rookie as well. He's had some moments throughout the season, even from the start of the season in week one against the Falcons. So, you know, he's going to be sprinkled in there as well. And then the defense has been, you know, not too bad, but I think it's a defense that this Panthers offense can move the ball against. So that'll be something to watch. You know, with Kuechly being back in there, that'll just be a little bit more force that Jordan Howard has to run through. Early on, I think the Panthers should bounce back and win this one. You know, so we'll see what happens. And again, as always, throughout the week, or later on in the week, we'll talk more about Chicago and see what else is brewing, see what the injury report is, and then go from there. Scanning around the rest of the NFC South, the Falcons, what a surprise result that was, losing at home to the Miami Dolphins 20-14, and this was after the Falcons had a 17-0 lead at halftime. So that means the Dolphins outscored the Falcons, and this is the Dolphins team whose offense had really been struggling the last couple of weeks. They really couldn't get anything going, but they come out and they outscore the Falcons 20-0 in the second half to win the game 20-17. So that puts the Dolphins now at 3-2, and as I said before, drops the Falcons to 3-2, and you know it's only week six, so it's kind of early to talk playoff standings, but at the moment, the Falcons would be out of the playoffs because they would actually lose the divisional tiebreak to the New Orleans Saints, who won a shootout against the Detroit Lions 52-38 to notch their third straight victory after an 0-2 start, and it drops the Lions to 3-3. So the Saints actually right now would hold the sixth spot in the NFC playoffs, I believe, from actually, I think it is divisional record because the Falcons haven't played a divisional game yet, whereas the Saints, of course, have the win over the Falcons. So I'm sure Panthers fans are excited to hear that at the moment, but again, obviously, long way to go. Panthers still have to play the Falcons twice. So, but this is also a Falcons team now that is in danger of dropping to 3-3 because, as I'm sure everybody knows, they've got to go to New England next week. They've got the big Super Bowl rematch, and boy, what bad timing it was to blow that 17-point lead, because now all the talk is going to be this team can't hold leads, and it's going to be the talk all throughout the week because we're just going to be talking Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, and how the Falcons blew that 25-point lead, and now they're coming off losing a 17-point lead at home to the Dolphins. So this is a bit of a tough stretch now. The next three games for Atlanta, including four of their next five, are actually on the road, including going to Carolina in week 9. They're in the midst of playing all four AFC East teams in four straight weeks. They just lost at home to Buffalo and Miami, and their next two are against New England and the Jets, and then they get Carolina. So it's a tough stretch. The Falcons really got to turn it around, or Carolina can start putting a little bit of distance between them and Atlanta in the division. And then, of course, New Orleans, like I said, winning that shootout over Detroit, they could be looking at another shootout when they take on Green Bay next week. Though again, Green Bay now without Aaron Rodgers. It'll be Brett Hundley taking the reins, possibly for the rest of the season. The Packers are well aware that Aaron Rodgers could be out the rest of the season, which obviously is a huge blow to that team. So, certainly a winnable game for New Orleans. They can make it 4-0, and then they've got Chicago. I mean, all of a sudden, after the Saints started 0-2, they could be looking at getting to 5-2 and really challenging Carolina in the division. And remember, for the time being, New Orleans has the tiebreaker because they have the head-to-head victory over Carolina. Now, what's interesting so far about this division is you've only had one divisional game so far, and that's that Carolina-New Orleans game. Atlanta's yet to play a division game, and Tampa Bay has yet to play a division game. So it's really, really still up in the air, even with Tampa Bay sitting at 2-3. You know, a lot of ways this can go. Like, for example, Tampa Bay, their last three games are within the division. Falcons, I believe, have five of six, actually. Atlanta doesn't play a division game till week 9 at Carolina. And then five of their last six games are within the division.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
You know, even looking at Carolina, I think they're pretty backloaded. They've, you know, their last two and three of their last five are against division foes. So a lot still at stake in the NFC South. A lot can still happen. So very, just flip a coin and we'll see what happens. It'll be very interesting to watch as the next few weeks go by. And then real quick on Tampa Bay, of course, they were in a bit of a shootout as well, losing 38-33 to the old guys, as it were, the Arizona Cardinals. Carson Palmer had a good game. Larry Fitzgerald had 10 catches. And boy, you talk about a change of scenery doing you good. Adrian Peterson in his first game as an Arizona Cardinal, two rushing touchdowns. What a run. So Buccaneers sitting now at 2-3, last place in the division, but again, only a game and a half out, and still with both games against Carolina to play. So a lot can happen in the NFC South, and we'll certainly track it all as the weeks go by. But again, so tough one for the Panthers. Got to get that run game going. Really got to try to get Jonathan Stewart getting back going. And, luckily Cam Newton was there to kind of save the day, but it wasn't enough. Things should turn around this week, I think, against the Chicago Bears. But with that's kind of your week 6 wraparound. It's hard to believe we're already 6 weeks into the season, and most of these, well, the Panthers are the only team that's 6 games in. Everybody else has played 5, but still, I mean, we're about a third of the way through the season, so it's going fast. So hang in, because it's going to be fun, and we'll track it all here on the Locked On Panthers podcast. So with that, I want to thank you guys for tuning in as always. Really appreciate it. Remember, of course, we're still doing the Pro Football Focus Edge subscription giveaway. You just leave your review and your Twitter handle on iTunes, and you're entered to win that subscription. So until next time, you've been listening to the Locked On Panthers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Bill Orsetti, and until next time, take care, my friends.